of God. And one of the reasons why I believe there is so much nastiness in this world is because there are far too many people that are not near enough to the heart of God. Because the closer that you draw to the heart of God. Now, allow me to back up here for just half a second. Let me say this. You know what? Becoming a Christian is the most amazing thing that will ever happen to you. And it is the only one thing that you really want and need to happen to you, brothers and sisters. There are so many other things in this world that we long for, that we dream about. But there is only one thing that you need. And that is the life-saving, forgiving blood of Jesus Christ to rain down upon you. So that one day, just like our beautiful sister Sarah, we will join him in the air. And we will be forever blessed. That is the one thing we need. But brothers and sisters, it is that heart of God that we have to draw near through Christ to, that changes us, that has the ability to provide us with something that we have never experienced before, and is something that we Christians, we kind of coined the phrase, although we didn't invent the word, agape love. The Greeks had a number of words for love. The word eros was one from which we get the word erotic, and that's that adult kind of love. There's a love of like the belly. There's brotherly love. Phileo, from where we get like Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love. But then there's that other love, agape love. This love flows from the heart of God, and it will wash over any who ask for it to be visited upon them. And the amazing thing about this flow from the heart of God, you know, regarding this flow from the heart of God, the great thinker Augustine once speculated that God is eternal and that God is love, loving. So that means that before time, before any of this ever was, before God ever threw the planets out into the sky, there was love. God loved, even when he did not have us to love. And people have speculated from that, saying, well, if God was a loving God, who did he love before he did all of this? He shared that love with himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the Son, and the Son so loved the Spirit, and the Spirit loved the Father, and the Spirit loved the Son, and the Son loved the Spirit. And they fulfilled their great divine being, their wholeness of their person, being one of the great attributes of God, love, they satisfied it amongst themselves. And some have speculated that the reason why all of this is, and why we have this earth and this atmosphere and the air we breathe and the food we eat and the clothes we wear and all of the joys and all the beauties in our life, is because before the very foundation of time, this loving God had so much love to give that he wanted more to share it with. And so he crafted us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed his own breath into it in a very special way. And that is why, as we all know and we can all contend, there is something different about mankind than every other animal on the face of this earth. He made us to love us. And of course, the New Testament gives us that powerful verse that we looked at last time. For God so loved the world, that word was cosmos. But it didn't, in this context, it doesn't refer to created order. It meant you and me. For God so loved all of us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This love that flows from the heart of God, this agape love, which means at its core, this pure love, this self-sacrificing love, this giving love, this love that is what all the sonnets are written about, this love that has inspired all of the songs, all of the poems, all of the marriages and the friendships and the relationships, all of those moments when there has just been, when love has been glorified, this is the love we are talking about, agape love. And God long ago was a loving God with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before anything ever became. But then it all became so that love could just flow through from his own heart to us. And we were made to live in a garden with him, in a loving garden with him, in a personal relationship with God Almighty. But because of that incident that we all know about in the Garden of Eden, the apple, the snake, and all of that, mankind was separated from God. sin came into the picture. And I know that long before me, every brash and bold and accurate minister there's ever been has made the same statement. Humanity has a hole in its heart that is the size of God. And the only way that hole is going to get filled is by inviting God in to take up his residence on the throne of your heart, which is the only thing that he really craves. He craved it so much that he sent his son who came willingly. To think that when God sent Jesus, spiritually speaking, I think Jesus' bags were already packed and he was ready to go. He goes, go save our family. Here we go, Father. And he came to this world. But this love, it flows from the heart of God. I want to share this passage of Scripture from 1 John 4, 8 and 9. Actually, I'm going to read 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love, that God was proactive and he had a plan in place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you before you were ever even born, before you were ever a twinkle in your dad's eye. He already foreknew you. He already loved you. He had already sent his Son, and his Spirit has been working on you your entire life to bring you to the point where you can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is himself God in the flesh. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, it flows from the heart of God. But the thing about this God's love, this agape love, is that it personalizes God. Way too many people think of God as this distant force. We think of him more like the force from Star Wars. And sadly, this verse that I just read you, which is, in my opinion, some of the most beautiful words that I've ever read, someone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. Well, that's tricked a few people over the years. They said, God is an emotion. God is a sensation. And it has caused some of the cultic groups out there in this world to try to lead their followers to believe that God is just a personal force that holds things together. Some kind of like a Gaia or something like that, the universe. That's not my God. My God is a person. He's not a man, but he is a person. He is a being. He feels, he thinks, he's rational. He's the most rational, in fact. And he said in the Scripture, in the book of Acts, no less than 17 times, the Greek word apologia was used, which we get our word apologize from. But the importance of that word that has been lost in today's translation is to apologize does not mean to say you're sorry. It means to give a reasoned defense. We've lost that though. But it used to be that when somebody would come up to you after they saw something, they'd say, apologize. And what they were expecting was, well, I wasn't there. It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man, for those of you who remember the old Harrison Ford movie. You know, it's all these different things. Say, is this, it's that. I'm glad I made you laugh, Phil. Thank you. It's this, it's that. It's the, and then at the end, if all of it was weighed and come and you came up wanting, you'd be like, I'm sorry. But nowadays, we only use apologize when we think we are positive someone is guilty. And we say apologize, and they just say sorry. The Scripture is an apologia of the love of God. It is God's reasoned defense for why he loves you as much as he loves you. I made you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I have loved you since before the very foundation of time. I loved you so much I sent my Son. I loved you so much I came and died for you and came back for you. The Scripture is God's apology, his reasoned defense on why you are valuable to Him. It personalizes God. But like I said, there's these cultic groups out there, though. And they'll say things like, well, God is love, and love is beauty. And so beauty and love are like the same thing. So beauty and love will be our gods. And no. God is real. God is not just a fleeting moment or a fleeting sensation. He is the origin of all things good, beautiful, wonderful, and lovely. And that includes love. Brothers and sisters, when you come into contact with this love, it is going to change you. I was just asked this week, do I believe that when somebody becomes a Christian, that they are saved forever? And my answer was yes. And then, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but then it was something like, but what like if, you know a couple people and they're not where they ought to be and they got no desire to turn back around and come back to the Lord. Are they still saved? And my answer is still yes. And people say, why? How can that be? Because Christ has loved you before this world began. And He knew your name. And for a long, long time, there was a temporary way by which men could be saved. The sacrificial system. But as the book of Hebrews says, the day had to come because of His great love for us, that those imperfect ways had to be put aside, and something perfect had to happen. And the only way it could be perfect is if there was a perfect high priest, if there was a perfect sacrifice, if the sacrifice was perfectly of and from God for us. And this was all satisfied in Jesus, who became our high priest, our sacrifice, and our God who stood there on our behalf. The love of God is not the force from Star Wars. The love of God is a very personal love between Him and you. And getting back to what I was saying about, like, you know, what if you have a couple of people and they're not where they ought to be? Praise God, God still got them where He wants them. It says, John chapter 10, I believe, of all that the Father has given me, I have placed them back into His hand. And no one is strong enough to remove you from the hand of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, here is the thing. If your heart desires, you can draw near to the love of God. If you have wondered why some people are so comfortable with so much nastiness in their lives and bitterness and deceit and malice and just the harsh things that you can read in their face and in their words, the reason why is because there is a God-sized hole that needs to be filled with God, with His love. They need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And if you're here and you are a Christian, sometimes you know when you've been slipping away from God a little bit, because sometimes it starts to become easier to think and feel like the world. To start letting the coarse words come out of your mouth. To start shooting the knives out of your own eyes. To start with the body posturing and the voice and stuff. Or, if it's not that, we can find that we are too easily hurt by what another broken person says or does to us. And you know what? These are moments that break my heart, brothers and sisters. I've shared before, and I feel I'm a very blessed and fortunate man at this moment, because there is no one on the face of this earth that I hate, and there is no one on the face of this earth that I wish anything ill to happen to them. None. And that has not always been the case in my life. And there have been people in my life who have tried to hurt me, and who have tried to hurt me badly on many, many levels. And still now, I can stand here today and say, my prayers go out to them. And I hope that their brokenness gets fixed. I hope that whatever nastiness it was that conjured up inside of their hearts that they were trying to throw at me, that God holds up a mirror to them in love and says, is this really what you want to be? Is this really how you want to be and who you want to be? And I hope that their hearts become broken with its own callousness. And that they will turn to Jesus, and that they will receive His love. And that they will understand what it's like to take a new, fresh step in this world by having laid all of their insecurities, all of their burdens, all of their nastiness at His feet, And then to see it in their faces when they stand back up and they're just not the same person anymore. I didn't used to be an emotional guy, but man, these days, I don't know what's up. Brothers and sisters, it flows from the heart of God and it personalizes God. But lastly, what do we need to know about this agape love besides the fact that it's available to you? And how do you receive it? It's so simple. It's the easiest thing in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. It has nothing to do with how much money you give to the church. Okay? It has nothing to do with what Christian radio or Christian TV you listen to. It has nothing to do with if you join this church or not. It has nothing to do with anything except a God that loves you beyond your wildest imagination and who wants you in heaven with him for all eternity. And he made it so easy that even a knucklehead like me couldn't get it wrong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That was too loud, Sherry. Come on. She's like, I so agree. How did he do it? How he did it was his son did all the work. His son paid the debt that I could never pay. Now all that I have to do is pray and say, Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I have fallen short of your glory. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. And if you say just a simple prayer like that, and you mean it, congratulations, you're a Christian. Now, go and live in him. Point number three, our closing point. What about this agape love? Become overwhelmed in it. Become overwhelmed in this love. Ever since I had my incident at the beginning of this year, I have been slightly irritated at times. Why? Because it's hard when you want to get up and go, but your go motor's not doing too good. You know? You still want to go run. You still want to go do whatever, go hike, go climb. Just have the energy to go out with friends whenever they call kind of thing, you know, to do the ministry, to do the work. This agape love of God, though, is the Christian's go motor. It is something that is so basic unto their spiritual physique that it can probably only be compared to your heart inside your physical body. Love is what needs to be your motivation in everything you do. You need to be one of those guys that has probably irritated you at some point or another in your life. Any of y'all ever known those Christians that are just always too happy? You know, like they get out of the bed in the morning like, here I am, God. I'm ready to go. And then there's the rest of us, after my coffee, buddy, after my coffee. You know. But the reality, though, is we need to become like those people that maybe a time or two in our lives we found slightly irritating. Fall in love with God to such a degree that you become irritating, brothers and sisters. Because that irritation that you are, there's only one finger that can scratch it, and that's the Lord's. You be unashamedly Christian, and you share the love of God everywhere that you go. By hook or by crook, share the love of God. One of my ministries in recent years, as I said, ever since the Lord kind of moved in my life and made it to where I trust me when I tell you, and my wife could probably be like, oh yeah, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. There are people that have tried to hurt me and hurt me badly. And lots of times when you get hurt, there are certain hurts that we suffer in this world that are very hard to get over. Amen? There are losses, there are pains, there are wrongs inflicted that are hard to get over. And I'm here to say to you all, the love of Jesus Christ can defeat each and every one of them. Each and every one. Become overwhelmed in it. And know that as God works his loving remedy of love inside of you, and as you feel it take place, and as you see it take place in your life, then what do?
You start praying for those people that hate you. You start praying for those people that sneer their lips and wag their head at you when you walk by. You start praying that you hope that they will get filled with the same love of God that you've been filled with. You hope that where once you were a bitter person, that God will take their bitterness away. Where once you were wounded, He'll take their wounds away. I stand before you as a man who has been wounded in his life. And I can tell you, God is bigger. Lastly, can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, will you join me in prayer? Father God, I know it's a word that's not popular right now, but I hope in so many ways that this church becomes so intolerant. I pray, dear God, from the bottom of my heart, and I hope my brothers and sisters are joining with me right now. We pray to you to make us intolerant, dear God. Make us intolerant to apathy. Make us intolerant to hate, dear God. Make us intolerant to this poison that infests so many souls that you just see it coming out of their pores. The hate, the lack of love. Father God, let us be intolerant of these things, and let us be intolerant also, God. Let us refuse to accept that your love does not live inside of them. And then, Lord God, by any way possible, help us to share that love with them. Father, I pray for a day on this earth when there are no more tears because somebody was cruel to another person. I don't understand where the cruelty comes from anymore, dear God. Life is so much better without it. Life is beautiful. Father God, people need to do more things in this world to help their own emotional health. They need more picnics and more camping trips. They need to pet more dogs and cats. They need to take better care of themselves. But Father God, what they really, really, really need more than anything is the love of Jesus Christ, that agape love, coming alive inside of their chest. Father God, for the person that has never received your Son as Lord, we've already said what to pray, and I just ask you, God, give them the strength to pray it. Father God, if there's someone here today who has prayed that prayer before, I hope that in their heart of hearts they have been encouraged today, knowing that you still hold them, that they are still in the Father's hands. And that love can be refreshed within them. Father God, give us this time. If there is a heart here that needs to be touched, let it be touched. And may you be glorified. In your Son's most beautiful name. Amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?
Precious blood has left me forgiven, pure like the whitest of snow, powerful to make sin and shame retreat. This covenant is making me whole, so I will rise and lift my head, for by His mercy spared, the highest name.